or technically in the case of Croatia, a little extra time.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a panic of pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
When Fly Me to the Moon started many moons ago, who would have thought, Rob, that we would be celebrating the joys of the then manager of Middlesbrough Football Club? Because let's face it, we and Gareth pretty much started at the same time in terms of podcasting. Pretty much, so it was the hind end of the whole system. And who would have thought that there would be a future England manager in the making and already being spoken of in terms of a knighthood?
Incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible.
I'm sure Adrian Bevington might have said, well, that's what happens when I leave the FA. Yeah. But Harold Shepperton keeps the line going, and so does Jenny Finch. How are you, Jenny?
I'm fine. Good morning, everybody.
It needs to be pointed out that I don't believe, as far as I'm aware, they could correct me on this, neither Jenny Finch nor indeed Rob Nichols have been celebrating the delights of the World Cup by jumping on any cars. Is that a fair comment?
Not been jumping on any cars, no.
And likewise, Jenny has held back on that. Despite the fact that Jenny, in the alternative tournament that's running in parallel with the FIFA World Cup, has got so much to celebrate, having amassed a massive 10 points from her first.
We are through the looking glass. Well,
and how you might well say, did she actually manage to secure this? Well, only because she predicted Sweden 1, Switzerland 0, giving her 6-point results. Rob, on the other hand, you'd gone for Sweden 2, Switzerland 1, meaning you only scored 2 for that. Plus 2, of course, for Belgium, Japan, again, you both got the... you're so close, actually. Well, no, you weren't so close, because it was Japan 2, Belgium 3, although you did actually predict that Belgium would win, so you both got 2 points for that. So Belgium 3, Japan 2 in the end, and you both predicted a 2-0 win for Belgium. And of course, there was Brazil, Mexico, where, again, Rob, you'd gone for a 2-1, Jenny had gone for a 3-2, but, of course, it was 2-0.
Yes.
Never mind. So, Jenny, how confident do you feel, given that Ian Lennox is still kind of recovering from the 4 points that he shares with me, actually? We both got 4 points, thrusting out the thing, having correctly predicted the Uruguay result and the Croatia result, I think.
Really? I was in the wrong half of the draw.
Yeah, well, you know, we had to follow through where we'd started from in terms of our other systems. Semi-finals, of course, we all make predictions. So, again, there's a possibility of 12 points up for grabs here if we get the correct scoreline. So, I think, Rob, as Jenny actually is the leader, she deserves to have the right of first.
I think so, definitely.
So which semi-final are you going to go for first, Jenny Finch? Is it going to be the Belgium versus France? And with Jenny's French connections, who knows where she'll go on that particular one. Or will she be selecting that little battle that's taking place in Moscow, where we hopefully can exact some revenge for the ways in which the host nation were unceremoniously put out of the tournament, meaning that as opposed to actually having an audience or a congregation or indeed a crowd, to be honest, of 99% Russian folk versus 1% slightly nervous English people, you know. Jenny, who are you going to go for first?
I'm going to stick with my side of the pool and go for Croatia versus England.
So what is the result going to be?
I think England are going to win it, and they're going to win it 3-1. We've got a very good goalkeeper. Come on, people.
Croatia have as well, actually.
Not as good as Pickford.
He's got great healing qualities, isn't the Croatia keeper? It appears to have done his hamstring and then he's up on his feet in no time.
It's like the miracle of Medjugorje all over again. I mean, apparitions and all manner of things from that perspective. It's astounding. Jenny, you do get a chance to call the other semi-final as well because, you could actually, if you scored right on this, you could actually have an unassailable lead. But what are you going to say for France versus Belgium?
Right, I think that one's going to go to penalties. It'll start 1-1. It'll go to penalties, and Belgium will take it 3-2.
Okay, well, so we'll that was a very precise thing. We'll take it after 90 minutes. So 1-1 after 90 minutes is what you're saying.
Yep.
And 3-1 to England in 90 minutes.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, I like that. I hope that's true.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Just for you, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? I mean, we're already looking ahead to the opening match of the season against Millwall, and great excitements will be happening.
Yes, 4th of August.
You're quite right.
Yeah, very soon indeed.
Yeah. Quite literally.
Less than a month.
The day after our next Book of the Month.
Oh, right.
And the week after, or the weekend after, the Saltburn International Food Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Shameless plug.
It is indeed, yes.
There. So there we are, all sorted through for that. Rob, we'll take one of yours now, because we'll hope the other one with respect to Ian Lennox again. Which one do you want to go for? France, Belgium, or indeed England, Croatia?
I'll take them in the order that they're going to be played in, which is Tuesday night, is France versus Belgium, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm going to say that it's going to be 1-1 after full time, because I think Belgium will win.
So you've gone exactly the same.
Exactly.
Is that technical?
It was because I was going to say, I was going to say it would be 2-1 after extra time.
Well.
So I will stick to what I was going to say.
Jenny, as a rugby player, or rugby aficionado primarily, and of course, let's not knock the cycling prowess that she brings to her predictions for the Tour de France. Yay, Bradley isn't the drug cheat after all. actually, it wasn't Bradley. What am I saying? It's the other lad. Froome.
Yeah. Definitely the other lad.
Exactly. You see, I just find myself, when you mention Chris Froome, I know that Jenny sort of thinks, oh, what a lovely man.
Well, he fell, didn't he, in the first stage?
Well, exactly, yeah.
Is it just about, a minute behind, something like that?
51 seconds.
So, all right, okay.
But how has the tournament been for yourself? Have you sort of suddenly sort of, like the rest of the country, it would seem, obviously in terms of the country, meaning England, as opposed to, although I gather there are a few Scots who are on our side, not many, but there we are.
Bernie Slaven was on our side. I've just bumped into him just now. So it's very good for football, and great for Gareth, and it is great for Gareth, isn't it?
Indeed, bumped into Bernie Slaven in this very hospital.
Indeed.
The James Cook University Hospital, Jenny. Where, I mean, I did say you could have invited him in, but apparently he's walking
on a mission.
His wife's put a lot of England flags and flags of St George around his house.
He's probably Russian to take them down.
No, the Russians.
No, no.
Right.
The Russians, right, yes.
Exactly.
Very good.
But Jenny, from your point of view, has it been a tournament that you thought, yes, that's what we expected from Vladimir Putin land, what a wonderful man he is, and frankly, you know, the sooner we get Vladimir together with Donald and Theresa and Kim Jong-un, that the world will be just a much better place.
Well, it depends where we get them together and where we meet them.
I was thinking Love Island, but then again, that's just a...
Oh, no!
I think it's proved to be very popular.
So
students have been going through, so why not, you know, keep the spirit of bonhomie going on that sort of basis, you know, anyway. But how has the tournament been for yourself, Jenny?
I haven't seen many of the matches. I've followed some of them on the BBC Live Text.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really interesting. I can't believe how many of the supposed big teams have just failed to turn up. It's been anybody's game.
It was paved by really Sweden's route, which basically saw Holland and Italy knocked out before we even started to the whole system.
Yeah.
And then following on from that, Germany and so on and so forth. And Brazil, I think. That's the end of the day. If you're going to have a lead player who's going to actually start their opening rounds with an omelette on his head. And also, you know, I mean, maybe it was the omelette that made that sort of look as though he was electrocuted every time he was on the pitch. And somebody actually electrocuted him, and he was just, whoa, you know.
Maybe it's a pancake and he just keeps flipped in the air and on the ground, rolling.
Neymar, we are looking at you, you know. Yeah. I just hope Gabriel Jesus hasn't learned anything from Neymar and comes back in a sane sort of manner, etc., as indeed will...
And score some goals, in the World Cup.
Exactly. I mean, obviously the City connection continues because clearly... De Bruyne for Belgium and Vincent Kompany.
Yes.
And Kyle Walker, John Stones.
All right, okay.
And Raheem.
Okay.
It's always like it would be a derby if it was sort of the.
Is that right?
Or perhaps your City reserves. No, only kidding. So, will you be watching the matches, Jenny, or is it a case of no, you'll be too nervous?
I'll probably be too nervous.
Yeah. we are. Well, we've got the results in there, or we've got the predictions in there. In 90 minutes, 1-1 for the France-Belgium game, and 3-1 to England for the next one. It's so exciting. 1990. Lord, where were we? I was teaching in comprehensive school then. It's amazing stuff. And we'll find out what Ian Lennox is going to say in a few moments from that point of view. A reminder, if you want to take part in the Book of the Month, I actually have a copy now which I'm going to pass over to Rob so he can take it away.
Ooh.
Anthony Horowitz. And it is, Rob?
Forever and a Day.
Forever and a Day. A prequel to Casino Royale, of course.
Ah.
And the James Bond opus and things from that point of view.
Right.
And we'll find out more about that in August. Jenny, we'll catch up with you, hopefully, with respect to, let me see, the Saltburn International Food Festival.
Oh, yes.
That's right, exactly. So we'll say farewell for now.
Bye, Jenny.
We can't say Come On England, Up the England.
No, we can't.
We haven't established that one.
It doesn't work.
I mean, I was tempted to say it's coming home, but then that's becoming a cliche, isn't it?
It is. It has become a cliche,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cliche, yeah. So,
Let us travel, hopefully.
Oh. Yeah.
All the way to Moscow.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Let's travel, hopefully. No, it doesn't really flow, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, yeah. Jenny, you'll be back soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
100. Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 200 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of calcium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of calcium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of calcium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of potassium, 300 grams of sodium, 300 grams of magnesium, 300 grams of sodium, solution could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you very much, Bernie. I've just been speaking to you live as well, haven't I? So that's quite weird.
It just shows you that kind of strangeness. You
know, yeah.
Came in from that point of view. Bernie Slaven, as we said, one of Borough's finest Republic of Ireland people.
Yeah.
Who clearly is, I think, graciously sort of acknowledging the success that Gareth Southgate
did. Yeah, absolutely.
Were they teammates? No, they weren't teammates. He was,
no.
It was a different year.
Yeah, he would be a media person at the time when Gareth was, well, certainly was when Gareth was captain. And then in the early days of his management.
I mean, it's so tempting to say, you know, the only player as yet to actually lift silverware for Middlesbrough Football Club and the possibility of his manager lift. It would be very exciting. Are you very excited, Ian Lennox?
Yes, I'm getting increasingly excited anyway.
Have you been jumping on any Tyneside cars?
No.
Well, I mean,
I wish I could. I'm too old.
Ian, I know you in the hammock, and I know the challenge.
Oh, I'm in the hammock, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you see, it's only a short jump between a hammock and a car, as far as a Newcastle United supporter is concerned.
Right.
So, as we said, I know we had a little side thing with respect to quarterfinals, and to be honest, we're not considering those because that was just a side event that we went through from that point.
Right.
So we're jumping straight into the Fly Me to the Moon official predictor challenge. Currently, I say Jenny Finch is ahead of the game with 10 points. Rob is next with 6 points. And then that's the two of us on 4 points, Ian.
Right.
Fine. So we're straight into... Well, let's jump straight into the thing before we reflect on the tournament and various other elements too. Ian, would you like to give us your prediction for France versus Belgium?
I think Belgium will win. And I think it will win 2-1.
And is that in 90 minutes?
Yes.
He's not messing about, is he?
No, you're not messing about, though.
I was going to say exactly the same.
Oh.
For that
well, you can still say that, you know.
He's thinking tactically, Ian.
Exactly.
He's thinking of the competition.
I'm going to say...
Think of the ratings.
Belgium will win 2-0.
So everyone's going for Belgium, then?
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because France are probably the favourites of the whole tournament, aren't they?
With Mr. Mbappe. In terms of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am tempted.
They're very on and off, though, aren't they?
You know, when Mbappe plays really well, it's against teams that give him a lot of space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's got a lot of gifts. But, I even saw Neymar, he struggled against...
As we said in the first part of the programme, Ian, Neymar can't play when he's got an omelette on his head. You know, if you were trying to play with an omelette on your head, if Malcolm McDonald was trying to play with an omelette on his head, it wouldn't work, you know?
I'm picturing Malcolm McDonald with a Neymar haircut, and it's not working at all.
When it finishes, can you tell me what Alex has had for breakfast?
Omelettes, obviously. No, only kidding. So how's the tournament been for yourself, Ian? I mean,
I've
greatest...
I've enjoyed it, yeah. And as you know, I was almost indifferent before it started, but I think it's one of those games where there's been no... Well, the old stars are really just faded away quickly out of the scene. And it's made more of team games than individuals, which I like. And I also love the shots of the crowds. So many young people and middle-aged people and all absolutely enjoying this themselves. And I've noticed that all the different nationalities, they film the crowds, the supporters.
Yeah.
They've all got... young ladies, so absolutely, you know, enjoying themselves. Except the England people, they're all blokes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thereby hangs the tail, yeah.
Yeah, don't you? It's funny, really. A lot of them got tattoos on. Not just the players.
No, a friend of mine is from Brentford, Billy from Besotted, has been doing lots of... video work there, and I've spotted him in the crowd a few times with his trilby, and he actually presented a shirt at it's like a tomb of the unknown soldier at Volgograd, and it was him and the FA director, which I thought was a really nice touch for a fan to do that. But
apparently the Russians have been fantastic to us, and the Russian people. Wonderful to us.
He's been there twice, and he was on Victoria, Derbyshire, telling everybody to go to fly out, and that his hosts wanted English tea and badges, football badges. Yeah, it's been everyone's been bowled over, haven't they, by the hospitality?
Apparently, yes. I gather that the Russians like the English football. They see a lot of it on television.
Mm.
And
well, Roman Abramovich has always been known for having
that's
interest,
true.
Hasn't he?
That's
yes.
So, I mean, I believe there are a few Chelsea people have actually sort of acknowledged that he's had some sort of input. Although, I wonder if he's actually got his permit to get him back into the country, because, I mean, that was something which
he's
being delayed for.
He's Israeli now, isn't he? Israel citizenship?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He'll be banned from everywhere then.
Interesting stuff. I mean, I made the point in the first part of the program about does it actually pan out quite nicely in a sense that we, or that England do not have to go up against Russia? Because I was feeling that actually if we did go up against Russia, and I think they were unfortunate, Russia, to actually go out against Croatia.
Yes.
You've certainly got, I mean, obviously it's a repeat,
against the whole repeat
of 66, etc. But yes, that would have been interesting.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I would have backed us to beat them.
Okay, are you going to say the same about Croatia though, Ian? What's your prediction for Croatia versus England?
I think England will win, and I think England will win 2-1 again.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Right.
And I shall say no more. That's 1-1 within 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you're not going to go beyond that? You're not going
I'm not going to go beyond that. I'm going to keep it within the 90 minutes, within the rules of the whole sequence, because who knows? Anyway. Rob, any closing thoughts that you'd like to add?
Well, I want to predict that. I haven't predicted that game yet.
You
can I do that?
Yeah, of course you have to.
Is that all right? Yeah. I'm going to totally go with my heart then and say that England are going to win 3-1 within normal time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Again, exactly yeah. Matching Jenny Finch.
Oh, no. Did she say that?
She said 3-1 in normal time.
So, okay, 2-0 in normal time. I've got to do a different one. Yeah, that's exactly it. So I've got to say 2-0 within normal time. I'm not going to back against England just for the...
No.
Very true.
Although, I've ruined it for myself.
Have you heard this stuff on some of the local radio? Not the talk sport people. I mean, interviewing Scotsmen and Irishmen and some of them actually admitted that they're going to support England but not tell anybody else.
There are a number. I mean, we have a very own William Coles, of course, who lives in Edinburgh, and I've been trying to persuade William to actually put some flags of St. George on around his household.
Okay.
He said he wants to keep his windows intact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it hasn't progressed. I've had a couple of Glaswegians who said, yes, they kind of support England. I've had a few who kind of feel that it would be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. It would be the absolute nightmare of any sort of situation there. And, you know, a couple of bitter sort of areas from that point of view, because after all, Scotland had their time, 1978, 1974, for instance.
Yeah.
Gordon Strachan.
A long time ago.
So effectively that clearly, you know, they could have followed through.
I thought it was fantastic. I don't know about you, Ian, but I was supporting Wales in the European Championships, and that was an amazing effort to get to the semi-final.
It was.
It's brilliant for Britain, really, to have two semi-finals in a row in major championships.
Yeah, and really sad thing about the start of Wales concern is England basically the only people who have qualified for years.
Yeah.
I can't remember when Wales qualified last.
Now, I'm going to say something maybe a tad controversial here, but and obviously hindsight is 20/20.
Unlike Alex, that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's still on his omelettes.
Yeah, I think he is, yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't it refreshing to actually have an England manager who doesn't pick people, and in this particular instance it might be Jack Wilshere, or somebody who might have an injury or carrying injury.
Yeah.
You know, for all of the previous World Cups, there's always been either David Beckham or Wayne Rooney or Paul Gascoigne or somebody who we've kind of felt the nation we can't cope.
There's usually a media clamour for somebody ridiculous that is somebody like 34 years of age, and suddenly at the last minute everyone said, you've got to pick him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that coupled with the
good words, bring him on for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Good to have in the squad for that. Yeah. 6'4" centre forward.
Change the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the openness was better as well from that point of view.
Oh, yeah.
Again, you know, the notion of again, that not sort of constantly having the pressure that's actually there. I mean, I just think that there hasn't been a single member of the squad who I've kind of thought, well, they're a poser or they're a passenger.
No.
Whereas actually previous tournaments, I'm not looking at Steven Gerrard or Frank Lampard or other folk from that point of view, where I thought, there's been talent there.
Yeah.
But there's been a kind of, misery. I mean, Rob, you made the point about Gareth Southgate himself back in 2002, where Sven-Göran Eriksson had expected Winston Churchill and they got somebody completely different.
Well, he always denied he said that. And I think that's important to say.
Right.
He always said that I didn't, and that, again, that's media putting words into his mouth, which they did when he was at Middlesbrough, when he was a captain as well.
So Wednesday is officially, Ian, hashtag wear a waistcoat day. Will you be wearing a waistcoat, or have they all been sold out?
I don't know, I've still got one here that fit me, actually.
We'll have to go down the charity.
I pushed the button and blinded somebody.
We'll have to be down the charity shop, I think, on Wednesday.
Using Jack on you.
Certainly an interesting line that he has sort of taken that waistcoat thing there. I mean, inevitably, one has to acknowledge, and again, hats off to Gareth, he's, every time that he's, in the words of Lee Dixon, I think there's definitely a bromance going on there.
Yeah.
Everything that Gareth says is actually spot on and appropriate.
Well, he has, him and his and his, is it Steve Holland? And
yes, to Steve Holland, that's right.
They made a series of huge decisions, and they've all been right.
Yeah. Yeah, they've not been afraid to make big decisions,
no,
have they? No. And
of course, the idea of him being a yes man, like, that's absolute rubbish, that is. He's not that.
No.
He's his own man, right?
He is.
He's done it so politely and diplomatically, and the team apparently got a fantastic spirit together.
Yeah.
And the, people don't realise how human they are.
Yeah, that's right.
If we develop, I was looking, I mean, people like Trippier have come from nowhere in the last two seasons.
Yes.
The guy who plays left side in the back for Leicester City, he's
Harry
come from Maguire. Nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's one of the stars of the World Cup.
Yeah, he's played for Hull City, wasn't he? All the years ago.
Which brings me around to my next possibly contentious and controversial point.
Ooh.
The other aspect, in previous years, we've always had the major, major teams established. We haven't had players like Kieran Trippier, Harry Maguire.
Yeah, we've always had, like,
effectively come from the lower league. Even Jordan Pickford, Jordan Henderson, something to a certain extent, the Sunderland-Mackham connection.
Well, they've been two stars of the team as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. He was very brave in what he did with the goalkeeping shirt straight away.
Well, I think one of the reasons was that if you look at the way they play now with the three at the back, they rely very much on bringing the ball out from the back.
Yeah.
And Pickford is one of the best passers for goalkeepers in the competition. He's brilliant at moving the ball on.
So, Ian, I won't say what we were doing 52 years ago back in 67.
Yeah, I can remember it vividly, actually.
Yeah. Shet, what was your experience, Ian?
Well, I went down to see... I lived in Gosford. I went to see a friend in Jessamine's, about a mile away. And I knocked on the door by Savannah, and he said to me, "This is a day when everyone in England should be in their own home." You know, so, well, I'm not going back there. And I'm going to sit and watch the game.
Right,
and, watched
I went out for cigarettes. Went into extra times, you know, and I dashed out for some cigarettes. Cause I've run out.
Okay, well, Ian, not that we're superstitious, but you know, you've got to track down that soul in Jesmond. You've got to find that exact sort of place, and you've got to visit him again. You know,
well, he's moved on now.
Well, then you've got to knock on the house itself, which is still standing there, and actually explain.
See if you can get some sweet cigarettes. Barrett's sweet cigarettes.
I like to think I'm a cunning burglar.
Well, I suppose he's in Newcastle. Oh, sorry, no, just step away from that. Ian, it's been awesome connecting with you, good self. We'll be back again with our usual slot on Thursday. From that point of view, we've got your predictions. I think we've got both your predictions. Yes, we have, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, all of us are right, because we've all predicted the same wins.
I
didn't say after. I said after 90 minutes.
Yes.
I know. So what's going to happen after those 90 minutes then?
What do you think
will happen after?
Come on,
Max. Yeah, come on, Max.
Well, I hope we don't go to penalties, because we'll see how things happen.
All right.
Could be that. All right, that's it then. The Fly Me to the Moon Predictor World Cup Challenge has actually wrapped. We're back again for the official Fly Me to the Moon in August. That would be August the 2nd or 3rd. August the 3rd, I think.
Yeah.
Et cetera. Are you looking forward to the new season, Ian Lennox?
I am, with some trepidation, because I assume Mike Ashley would have been gone by now, but he's not.
Yeah. Much misunderstood, much maligned.
Oh, yes, he's lovely.
Rafa's happy with him, everybody's happy with him.
He's knocking on the door.
In so many ways, Mike Ashley is to Newcastle United what Vladimir Putin is to world peace. I mean, they are interconnected together. And
get him in that Love Island invite.
Exactly. Yeah. That's very true. That's the bottom line. Thank you, Ian. We didn't really find out a sort of thing. It's apart from it's coming home and so on, so we'll just say come on, England. So
I think we need to.
Two, three.
Come on, England.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.